There have been hours and hours of George Michael tributes all across the media this weekend. So we wanted to focus in on one aspect of George Michael's remarkable career, how his own struggle with his sexuality and ultimate fearless public advocacy helped change not only pop culture, but the broader culture that reacts to it. Michael Musto is a writer for The Village Voice in New York, and he writes a weekly column at Out.com, and he joins me in the studio now. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's been a lot of tribute to George Michael's music and his self-professed struggle with fame, you know, all throughout the weekend. But he was an artist who performed in the 80s at a time when gay artists were not out. Freddie Mercury comes to mind, you know, a hugely famous performer around the same time that George Michael first got known. And then George Michael kind of came into a gay identity right around the time when straight people were starting to be okay with it in the culture. It seems like he was a big part of that.
Well, I think Elton John breaks all the rules. He was a pioneer in being an out artist in the music industry. But you're right. In the 1980s, at the height of New Wave, when Wham started out, that was George Michael's synth pop duo with Andrew Ridgeley, there were very few out gay artists. And it was weird when Boy George, who was sort of a rival singer for another new wave band, Culture Club, later on started railing in the press against George Michael for being in the closet, because Boy George, when he was at his peak of fame, was not out of the closet. He was ambiguous. He admitted to being a drag queen, but not a gay man. So it was a little bit messy, but by the time George Michael came out, and by the way, he only came out because he was busted looking for, quote, lewd, anonymous sex in a public restroom. There was no turning back. He really became a very visible and vocal LGBT member who did us proud, I would say.
And all of these acts, I call them acts that we're talking about. I mentioned Freddie Mercury, George Michael, Boy George, all British. There was a renaissance in pop culture attention to gay culture in the late 90s, maybe the early 2000s, I would say, in this country. It seems like England, the UK, in the way that you're describing, was way ahead of us.
Well, in the 90s, AIDS was mounting, and it, in a very macabre way, it really put a spotlight on the gay community, and Madonna was somebody who was fanning the flames and catering to her gay audience. And so by the time George Michael came out, gay was very much in the public eye. It was headline news, and there's something about the British who I think who foster a taste for slightly unconventional artists. If you notice, there are people who would never make it in the Billboard charts who are big in England, even though, you know, people like the Scissor Sisters or Anani or people like Adele and Sam Smith kind of were big in England before they made it here.
So Michael Musto, 2016 has sort of put a lens on it. You know, we have Bowie, Prince, now George Michael, pop stars, all who bent and reshaped sexuality. Probably for a lot of people, their first exposure to that type of queerness, I'll call it, in pop culture, not on the fringes. George Michael was also part of that. And this year, it seems, for some reason, all three of these gentlemen have left us. How do you internalize all that?
Things always happen in threes. Whenever I'm looking for an article to write for the New York Times style section, I'm always thinking of three examples, and that'll make for an article. And it just happens that way. It's in the zeitgeist. There's no reason behind it other than coincidence. But David Bowie was bisexual. Prince was certainly comfortable with gender and sexuality, flounced around like a little lavender elf full of hormones, and was a riveting performer. And George Michael, of course, eventually was openly gay. And all three of them were pioneers in the arenas of sexuality and gender. And it's important that they all be remembered, not just for their body of work, but for how they paved the way for other people. There are certainly way more openly gay performers in music today, and it's an inspiring thing to see. And I'm glad George Michael actually lived to see that happen, because he was partly responsible for it.
Have you thought about how much of an impact pop culture figures like George Michael, Bowie, Prince, Sam Smith, others that we're talking about, have had on the broader politics, right? We can talk about MTV being comfortable with gayness or queerness in pop culture. In politics, you have the Obergefell decision, a new acceptance of gay marriage, an acceptance of gay people and gay culture that's far different than it was 20 years ago. How related are these two things?
Very related. And in fact, whenever there's an anti-gay thing happening in politics, bathroom rights for trans people, you have artists like George Michael who have a huge following, and their message is, I'm gay, so what? My fans love me. And that's the most important message of an out gay artist in music, like George Michael, is that, well, they're gay. It's part of who they are. And the public not only accepts them, they worship them.
Let's talk about George Michael and his music for a second, because when he passed away, I read 100 million albums sold.
It's true.
Astronomical figure. I never would have pegged him in such a club.
Well, when you look back at the hits, I mean, once he went solo after Wham, which had kind of lightweight hits like Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, George Michael went on to songs like Faith, Father Figure, I Want Your Sex. It was hit after hit. It was
Careless really, Whisper.
Yeah, exactly. So it was an astounding array of hit records. Kept showing his range. He had a duet with Aretha Franklin, I Knew You Were Waiting For Me, and that he did that because he actually had roots in R&B and was desperate to sing with the greatest singer of all time, and he held his own.
But he was more than just a pop artist making bubblegum, right? I mean, Wham, you could argue there was a place for that. There was a lot of neon orange and pink going on at the time.
Yes.
His solo career was more substantive. I mean, he was living his struggles through his art. It wasn't just artifice.
Absolutely. I mean, Wham was a very pop confection that was cute and disposable. And it was inevitable that George Michael was going to go solo, much like years later. Beyonce was obviously going to break out of Destiny's Child and go solo. It just reeked of, you know, this guy has star quality. And as he did emerge into his own career, he really developed as an artist and dug into all of his roots, from R&B to dance to pop and rock, and came up with an amazing array of very diverse songs that really hit a chord with the public.
So I don't want to oversell George Michael's contribution, but in the context of people like Bowie and Prince, inevitably they all passed this year, the rule of threes, Michael Musto, as we talked about. His overall contribution to people that you've talked to, people who might have been kids in the 80s and the 90s, their testimonials about what his career might have meant to them. What have you heard?
What they're all saying on Facebook is, I was a kid of the 80s, and this has been a devastating year between Bowie, Prince, and George Michael, not to mention Natalie Cole. These are people who represented cutting-edge music and trends and explorations and, as you say, working out personal issues through their music and advancing music by daring to try on new adventures.
Michael Musto, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael Musto is a writer for The Village Voice in New York City. Also, he writes a weekly column at Out.com, joining us to talk about the life and career of George Michael.